Roughly Speaking with Dan Rogics is brought to you by the Ivy Bookshop, an independent bookstore at 6080 Falls Road, located at the intersection of Falls Road and Lake Avenue in Baltimore. The Ivy stocks a wide selection of books covering Baltimore and the Chesapeake Bay region, many by local authors. More information can be found at theivybookshop.com or by calling 410-377-2966.
From the podcast studio at the Baltimore Sun, I'm Dan Rogics, and this is Roughly Speaking, episode 298 for Thursday, September 14th, 2017. So, do we get serious about climate change now? I mean, were Harvey and Irma the convincers that were needed to persuade more of America, starting with the President of the United States, that we fossil fuel-burning humans have messed up the Earth's atmosphere in a way that makes weather more extreme, threatening lives and causing billions of dollars in damage to coastal areas? I mean, when do we start shunning people who call climate change a hoax? After the deluge in Houston, the hurricane through the Keys and Florida, are we finally past the tipping point?
It is a colossal rescue effort. Thousands stranded, taken by boat and helicopter. Their faces tell the story of anguish, anxiety, and fear.
The water was up to here.
With emergency responders overwhelmed, Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner is asking people to call 911 only if their life is in danger. The city has now opened its convention center for evacuees.
This bayou is usually nearly empty. Within a matter of hours, it's 30 feet overflowing into these apartments, and all these people are trapped.
America's fourth largest city fighting to survive a still unfolding calamity.
FEMA reported today that Hurricane Irma destroyed a quarter of the houses. Nearly two-thirds of the rest have major damage.
This is Kudrow Key. This is where Hurricane Irma made landfall. This is really ground zero. And you can see when it came through here, it had so much force. The winds blasted through these homes. In fact, over here, this is a washing machine that was thrown across the street.
It is miles of destruction. House after house, block after block, roofs torn off, boats on the road, and RVs mangled in trees. Irma's path of destruction cut through the Florida Keys.
This was a big part of my life for 15 years. I've lived here, it's just, in one moment, it's gone.
At a checkpoint near the Upper Keys, residents slept in their cars and waited for hours just to see if they still have a home.
And in Kudjo Key, survivors of the hurricane so many feared.
When it finally hit us and it came in, it started rocking the house. We were in a two-story cement house. The whole house started shaking. It felt like an earthquake.
Almost a full day of winds of over 100 miles an hour.
It looked like a nuclear bomb went off.
Like a nuclear bomb, the man said. You know, it's interesting. A few weeks ago, hearing Trump talk of fire and fury regarding North Korea, you might have feared that nuclear weapons might actually be used, more so than at any time since the Cuban Missile Crisis 55 years ago. But think what you like about North Korea and its crazy haircut of a leader and our crazy haircut of a leader. Climate change strikes me as the real threat to civilization. The North Korea thing we can probably solve with diplomacy. There's no negotiating climate change. Today I was going to talk about something very much on my mind and the minds of a lot of people in Baltimore, and that is our unnatural disaster, the terrible rate of homicides across the city. There was a hearing the other day where state and city leaders discussed possible solutions to the violence, and I had a column in the Sun on Wednesday offering my ideas about that. It seems like an intractable problem. Too many guns, too many men settling their differences with guns. But you know what? As bad as it seems, with all the problems complicating it, violent crime is something we can solve, or at least reduce. Other cities have been able to do it. I've been covering the news in Baltimore for 40 years, and I still believe more of the city is on the verge of breaking out and achieving greatness, or at least decent livability, despite what we see today. Climate change? That's high in the sky, and it seems much harder to grasp in terms of arresting it before it gets worse. But Al Gore says it's not too late. It's getting there, but it's not too late. There are still things we can do, and today on the show you're going to hear about one of them. Trump's pulling the United States out of the Accord de Paris on climate change was an ill-informed, spiteful rejection of science and statesmanship in the face of international agreement that those of us alive today have a responsibility to future generations. The bright side of that bad decision has come in the form of pledges to live up to the Paris Agreement from political leaders in cities and states that already have made progress on carbon emissions and renewable energy. Maryland needs to be part of this movement, and in fact, we're already making progress. A few months ago, the Maryland Public Service Commission approved adding $1 a month to residential electricity bills to support two wind farms, the largest offshore project of its kind in the nation. Dozens of wind turbines could be in place anywhere from 14 to 20 miles off Ocean City by 2020. The wind farms are expected to prevent emissions of hundreds of thousands of pounds of carbon dioxide and create some 5,000 jobs. Maryland adopted California standards for motor vehicles, setting limits for ozone-depleting emissions that are stricter than those required by the federal government right now. Maryland is also a member of the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative. That's a cap-and-trade consortium of northeastern states that work toward reducing carbon dioxide emissions from power plants and increasing investment in energy efficiency. Greenhouse gas emissions are tracking downward, and Maryland looks like it could meet its goal of a 25% reduction by 2020. But is that enough? Given Harvey, given Irma, shouldn't we be pushing harder on reducing emissions? And don't green jobs make a lot more sense than jobs in coal mines? As our environmental reporter Scott Dance reports in The Sun today, a coalition of environmentalists, clergy, and solar and wind energy companies launched a campaign Wednesday calling for half, 50% of Maryland's electricity to come from renewable sources by 2030. Our guest today is Brooke Harper. She is policy director for the Chesapeake Climate Action Network.
The Maryland Clean Energy Jobs Initiative, along with the Maryland Climate Coalition and over 300 local businesses and organizations, launched their campaign for Maryland to have a 50% renewable portfolio standard or a 50% renewable energy by the year 2030.
And how does that compare to where we are now?
In 2016, we launched the Clean Energy Jobs Act, and that was enacted after we overrode Governor Hogan's veto. And so our current goal is at 25% by the year 2020.
What'll that actually mean? How will we achieve that, Brooke?
So we'll increase that by increasing the incentives for solar. We were looking at, currently we have a 2.5% solar carve-out. We're going to aim to increase that to 14.5%, as well as increase the need for land-based wind. And by phasing out trash incineration, we're going to be bringing on new incentives for wind and solar to come online and be eligible for what we call Tier 1 Renewable Energy Credits, or RECs.
Who gets the credits? How does this work?
So we're part of a regional greenhouse gas initiative where companies have to pay into, it's like a regional cap and trade program. Mm-hmm. And so when we're producing clean energy, other states can purchase those RECs from us, and we can purchase those RECs from them. And so one of the things that now qualifies for a subsidy is waste to energy incineration, which is trash incineration. And we've noticed as an environmental community that primarily these incinerators have been placed in communities of color and low-income communities, and it's also not the best for our health, and it's not really clean, renewable energy. And so we're going to work to phase out subsidies for trash incineration, which will allow more investments for wind and solar to come online. And we're also greatly increasing a solar carve-out. In other words, a certain percentage of our electricity that's provided from us from our utilities has to come from solar energy as well as from offshore wind energy. And then for the other renewables that are in our system, they can purchase those as well in order to make sure that they're providing Marylanders with renewable energy.
I was just in Western Maryland enjoying the scenery. I looked up and there was a carve-out in a hillside for mm-hmm. solar panels, a big field of solar panels. I didn't have time to drive over and investigate it myself, but I, I hadn't noticed it there a year or so ago or 2 years ago. So it makes me ask you this question, like, how is this working out across the state? I mean, are we seeing more solar fields, for instance? Are counties, county governments, or local businesses getting into this act?
We've seen the solar industry thrive in Maryland. The solar industry now surpasses the crab industry in value, and we have over 165 companies and over 5,400 employees that are employed in the solar industry sector, and solar has grown over 27% since between 2016 and 2017. So people are coming on board with rooftop and large-scale solar.
So what happened there, Brooke? Because a few years ago, I remember people were saying, well, solar's sort of flatlined. It's kind of not, it's not growing. There aren't enough credits. But we've seen this increase then.
Yes, and that's in part due to laws like the renewable energy, like to RPS laws like this, and to the Clean Energy Jobs Act, and for our Maryland legislators that are leading on climate issues that have put in incentives and subsidies for solar to bring in more demand.
Mm. Where is Governor Hogan on increasing or expanding the renewable portfolio?
Well, Governor Hogan vetoed our last attempt at getting Maryland to 25% renewable energy by 2020, and we hope that he recognizes that in the face of Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma and progress stalled at the federal level, that Maryland needs to be a leader in clean energy solutions. So we hope that he's on board, but he's shown in the past that he was not supportive of these initiatives with his veto.
But I'm hoping, like you are, that the storms will change people's minds about this. It's not climate change that causes hurricanes, but it's climate change that certainly makes them worse.
Yes, and we hope so too. And we've seen, you know, Governor Hogan has surprised us with the fracking ban, and so we hope that he'll continue to move forward the right way on policies when it comes to clean energy.
It's an interesting group you had together today, people from, community organizations, labor, business, your organization, the Climate Network, but also faith leaders, huh?
Well, I'm not surprised at all that the faith community is once again standing up for environmental issues. We got arrested alongside them in Annapolis for the fracking ban, and they've been one of our most ardent supporters from offshore wind to passage of the last Clean Energy Jobs Act. And in fact, this weekend, over 60 congregations across the state of Maryland are dedicating their services to lifting up creation care and climate change. And we've really seen faith leaders coming out on the forefront and standing up for climate issues because they realize it's an issue of protecting God's creation and protecting all life.
And it's not just in God's hands.
Well, it's in God's hands, but sometimes he needs us to help him do some work.
Yeah. Hey, Brooke, one last thing. If 50%, if we actually could get to 50%, where would that put Maryland with respect to other states?
Maryland would join other states like Massachusetts and California that have led the way with higher renewable portfolio standards and renewable energy standards, and we hope that this will pave a pathway to get Maryland to 100% clean renewable energy, and we see this 50% benchmark as a critical step into getting there.
Brooke, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. You have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Brooke Harper, who serves as policy director for the Chesapeake Climate Action Network. One note about solar power: Maryland added 1,160 solar jobs in 2016, a 27% jump from the previous year, bringing the industry's employment, as Brooke pointed out, to about 5,400. That's according to an annual solar job census by the Solar Foundation. The number has probably grown since then, given the state's solar-friendly policies and the mounting demand for solar. Nationally, the market nearly doubled last year, with solar production capacity growing by some 95%. Oh, a lot of it is residential, but the biggest gains came in utility installations, according to the foundation, many of them made to meet rules laid down by the states. So, it's one thing to listen to this, folks. It's another to get behind it, take some action of your own. If you think Maryland should be in the vanguard of states aiming to get half of its electricity from renewable sources by 2030, let your state reps know, and tell Governor Hogan to get bullish about climate change. Okay, as Forrest Gump says, that's all I have to say about that, at least for now. That's our show. Coming up in my Sunday column, a ride along with Baltimore Police Commissioner Kevin Davis, and a talk about the city's unnatural disaster of homicides and what the commissioner is doing to recruit and better train new police officers. Make sure you check out the video that goes along with that report. They'll both be online this weekend. Core producers Steve Early, Quinn Kelly, and Christina Tasek. This is Dan Rodericks here at the Baltimore Sun. Thanks for listening to Roughly Speaking, and we'll see you again soon.
Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by the Ivy Bookshop, an independent bookstore at 6080 Falls Road, located at the intersection of Falls Road and Lake Avenue in Baltimore. The Ivy stocks a wide selection of books covering Baltimore and the Chesapeake Bay region, many by local authors. More information can be found at theivybookshop.com or by calling 410-377-2966.